You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
And welcome to the program. David Masters sitting in tonight. Roy Masters taking the night off. And thanks to everybody that has participated in our pledge drive last week. But it's ongoing. And so we still need, for those of you who haven't yet donated, please do so by calling 800-500-0922 or go to FHU.com and click on donate, or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. So, near-death experiences. Okay. I find this to be a fascinating area of spirituality. The reason is because when I was 13 years old, I had an out-of-body experience that lasted for 3 days. Now, this is something that is virtually inexplicable in the sense that how does something like this happen? But I tell you, and I tell you truly, that it did happen to me. And I probably should talk about it in the body of the program. But I know that a lot of people, many people, maybe 10 or 15 or even 20% of people, all people, have had these kind of experiences. It wasn't scary. It wasn't enlightening. It was like being a balloon with a consciousness tied with an invisible string to the arm of the person that has your body. And you can watch, kind of like you do now with your home security system. You can hear the words being said. You can see the interactions between you and other people. And you are floating above yourself, sort of marveling at the whole thing. Like, how is this possible for me to hear my own voice? And how is it possible for me to see myself walking down the street and being in school and so on and so forth? Yes, it all happens, quite real. And at the end of 3 days, I woke up back in me with a knowing. A knowing. That's all I had. The takeaway was, there's more to you than your flesh. Which started me on the journey that I've been on now since that time, since I was 13 years old. And that was also the year that my dad took me to see the greatest story ever told, the story of Jesus Christ, with the actor Max von Sydow playing Jesus, and it was quite well done, in my opinion. Still a good movie. But you could see, I could see, that the story showed that this was a good man who was punished for his goodness. So my sympathy went to the man that was murdered for being good. And it stayed with me my whole life. In other words, I felt sympathy to feel the same. I felt that the persecution of that man, of that innocent man. And that's what happens when you identify. So, you know, for many people, it is you identify with the wrong person. When you're young, you have the poster of the rock star on the wall, or the, you know, you idolize human beings, which is a huge mistake. You idolize people, and you don't realize that they're just skin and bone. And, you know, it's to me, it's really odd how a person becomes super rich and super famous. I don't think it's by chance. I think that people sort of have a lot in life, if that's a proper description. That's their lot in life. They get to be super rich and super famous, and then they're forgotten onto the trash heap of life. So, you know, the movie stars of 50 years ago, most people don't remember them. Wouldn't even know them if they saw them. You know, you watch Turner Classic Movies. I remember many of them. But that was all they got. They got to be famous, and they got to be, you know, front and center in the minds of a lot of people. And maybe some of them were good people. Maybe they did good things. Maybe they set good examples. I don't know. But, and then there are the people who work to make the world a better place. And most of those people, probably you never know their names. You'll never know what they did. The men that served in wars and fought to keep this country free. You'll never know them until one day when you're in the afterlife, you walk by somebody and you'll realize that's one of the good ones. That's one of the men that fell, that saved our country. David Masters, I'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, welcome. It is Advice Line. I'm David Masters. And if you'd like to call, the number is 1-800-866-8883. And for those of you who are just tuning in, I talked about a few minutes ago what caused me to go down this path of life. At least I attribute this to my path of life, which is I had an out-of-body experience when I was 13 years old. And that out-of-body experience lasted for 3 days. And There were no great epiphanies that, you know, it wasn't scary. I didn't feel like I was on a roller coaster. What I felt like was my conscious self was in a balloon, an invisible balloon, tethered to the hand of the boy, me, David. And that for 3 days, I followed myself around, watched my interactions with people, heard the sound of my own voice when I was talking, watched myself walk here and there, do all the things I was doing, just from sort of a ceiling view. And after 3 days, I woke up back in the body that was me. Now, there was a time when I thought, I wonder how long this is going to last. It was a strange feeling. Just there, watching. So I was a bit relieved when after the third day, you know, that night and then the morning I woke up and there I was back in me. My consciousness was back in me. But I realized the big takeaway for me, the thing that I understood when I was 13 years old, was that there is more to me than my flesh. I mean, it was clear to me that there was, that this consciousness thing was separate, that it existed separately for 3 days, so then therefore it could exist separately forever. Does that make sense for a 13-year-old kid to come to that realization? So I realized this is not me. I am not my body. My body is not me. My body is my vessel. And that was the big takeaway for me. And I was glad that after 3 days, I came back into my body. But as a result of that experience, my path in life was sort of guided by that experience. And I don't know how to say it, but the things of the world did not really appeal to me that much. And I got to tell you that there was a time as I got into my later teenage years where everything that the world had to offer was sort of thrown at me. A lot of things were thrown at me to test me, to see you know, where my weaknesses were. But I did pretty well going through my life. I didn't fail in a lot of ways that everybody else does. I was a chaste person, not chaste like in chaste like a farmer. That was just something I was compelled to be. I saw everybody else being completely miserable in the relationships they had, especially teenagers, because they're so messed up anyway. Teenagers are such a pile of hormonal goo. So it wasn't, you know, to me it was things that I could actually achieve. And so for one of those things was that I loved the water. Always, ever since I was a kid, I was born in Texas, kind of a dry spot, Houston, Texas. But whenever it would be raining or, you know, we had a pool, thank goodness, out in the back of our house. But I was always in the water. And I loved the water. So when we moved to California, there was a bigger pool, the biggest pool I'd ever seen. And I spent as much time in that gigantic pool called the Pacific Ocean as possible. So that was where I put a lot of my energy. And then when I was about 17, I started working as a carpenter because all my friends, people that I went surfing with, are carpenters. So I worked as a carpenter for probably 5 years. And then I moved on to other trades. But my path was shaped by understanding that this other thing, this consciousness, this thing that is me watching me, that was really what made me who I am. So I had a tendency to guard that, whereas most people don't. Most people do not guard their conscious self. They really don't. You don't. Or you didn't. Maybe you do now. But you don't have your force fields up. You let your force fields cut down very easily, almost like, you know, you're easily tempted to come outside of the protective zone. But that's, you know, the scripture says you're first of flesh and second of spirit. So it's understandable why most people will steal. You know, they'll do things that they know they shouldn't do. They'll, like my dad talks about, taking quarters off the dad's dresser or whatever. Or you'll take food that there's, you know, you're not supposed to take. And, you know, when I was a kid, it was always the pie that smelled so good or the cake that was cooling on the windowsill. And some dastardly person or creature would come along and steal the cake. So that was the big, you know, that was the big bad thing to do when you were young. When I was young anyway, was cartoon characters would steal the cake. Of course, that would be heaven if everybody just stole the cake, wouldn't it? So I have some more material here on life after death. And there's some very interesting science that's being done on the brain. And I wonder, this is a BBC documentary, I wonder if this would be interesting to you as it was to me. I did prepare it to use on the program. So let's see, 5 minutes. Yeah, I think I can do it. All right, here comes part one of The Brain. This is a documentary, and we'll talk about it.
Now, entertainers like these are just one of the groups that have been studied in this new area of science. The study showed that if you took a group of people and over 3 months taught them how to juggle, the visual areas of their brain, so back here, the ones that are involved in following where the balls go, actually changed in just 3 months. The study showed that when we learn new skills, what we're doing is changing the physical structure of our brains. And the more we practice, the more the brain changes, which is why we keep on getting better at the skill. This process is called neuroplasticity. And you can keep on changing your brain throughout your entire adult life.
It's really hard. You know, I'm not sure I've changed any of my brain yet, but these guys all have. The idea that physical changes happen in your brain when you're learning a new skill is something that's fairly well established now. But what few people have looked at is whether physical changes happen in your brain by thought alone, by something like meditation. But that work's just starting. I was on the final leg of my journey and about to meet up with someone who was trying to find out if meditation might actually change the physical structure of our brains. At the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, Dr. Sarah Lazar is conducting one of the first experiments in this area. She studied a group of ordinary healthy people who practiced a form of meditation which focuses on the breath.
These were not monks, so they're not people taking vows. And I think that's a really important part of the study, is that these are people who, they're everyday people. Yeah, there was a chef, a computer programmer, a doctor, a lawyer. And they're just people who sit and meditate for 35, 45 minutes a day.
She looked at their brains with a machine called an MRI scanner and compared their structure to the brains of people who'd never meditated. In particular, she focused on the outer layer of the brain, the cortex, where most of the processing of thoughts and emotions takes place. She was looking for any structural differences between the two groups.
We saw come up on the computer screen, it was beautiful. Yeah, just these bright yellow splotches, and it was, woohoo, it was great. It was wonderful.
What Dr. Lazar had discovered was that certain parts of the cortex in the brains of the meditators were structurally different to the brains of those who'd never meditated.
Interesting so far, isn't it? Yes, because it's showing you something. It's proof.
This is a very, very small difference, and we're finding 0.1 to 0.2 millimeters difference between the two groups.
0.1 to 0.2 millimeters difference. Wow.
So that's pretty significant, and yeah, when we do the statistics, it's statistically significant.
One of the areas that was different was the insula, which, amongst other things, processes emotions.
It's involved in awareness and internal sensations, such as hunger and thirst, but also your emotions, so anger and disgust and happiness.
It seemed the longer the subject had been meditating, the thicker this part of the brain was.
That really suggests that also that the more you sit, the thicker it gets, and that basically every minute of meditation counts in some regard.
To me, this was fascinating. Mathieu, Professor Williams, Dr. Davison had all told me that meditation could affect your emotions. And here, Dr. Lazar believes that she's found an area in the brain involved in processing emotions that was thicker the longer someone meditated.
It suggests that the act of thinking, of focusing your attention on your breath, has the ability to have these huge pronounced effects on brain structure. The idea is that just through thought, you can change your brain.
Interesting, isn't it? Compelling that meditation literally physically changes the brain. Now, of course, these are just sort of, what would you call it, run-of-the-mill everyday meditations. Nothing special about them, like breath meditation, which is what some people do. But when you understand the purpose, when you go into meditation with a more, let's say, technical understanding, which is actually something that is provided by all of the support materials, my dad's books, so that not only are you meditating with a particular focus in mind, which is just to let go, just not even to have the thinking. When you meditate with that focus in mind, to not be carried downstream in the thought stream, and that you stay back and you become objective in the process of meditating, that you understand what you're meditating for. You're understanding that you're actually focusing on being in the moment. Okay? So you're using your mind, your brain, all the parts to do this. And to me, this is even more powerful than just focusing on your breath. And as I say, all of the meditation materials that are there to support my dad's explanation of meditation, the books and the various topic matter, it's all there. So I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll hear more about meditation and the brain. Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes free with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
All right, and here we go again with, I'm going to play another segment of this. It's very, very interesting. It's very scientific, and at the same time, it helps you understand that there is a reason why you're meditating. So here we go. All right, so, like I said, I want to talk more about meditation, because meditation essentially, and especially as practiced with the instruction of my dad's version, is, how can I say this now? It is a counter measure against the formational pressure of life itself. In other words, life and the pressures that come with it shape us into the people that we are. And you, honestly, you can't be, how can I say it? without the pressures, you would not develop into a person either of good character or bad. So depending on how you deal with pressure, with the pressures of life, depending upon what, you know, what kind of role modeling is there for you, there are literally billions of different combinations of how you have been taught to deal with the things of life, how you've learned how to deal with the things of life, and things you have not yet learned or failed to deal with properly or correctly. And these are the lessons that you have to learn. You know, when kids are making the transformation from young to teenagers, they go through these radical changes. You see that right before your eyes, a little kid that's 2.5-3 feet tall turn into a 5.5-foot tall, 6-foot monster over a period of a few years. Those changes are forced upon us. Otherwise, we just would, we'd be like munchkins. And some people are, even though they've grown up. But the point is, we are forced to change. See, change doesn't come because you necessarily want it. Change happens regardless of whether you want it or not. And so what you have to do is simply understand that you have to determine what change is going to occur. Think about what I'm saying. Change will happen. There's no way around it. Even, I mean, if you just take age itself, aging, the process of aging, changes happen. So if it's the kind of food you're eating, if you're under a terrible amount of stress and you sit at a at work for 12 hours a day, you're going to end up with diabetes. You probably have obsessive compulsive food disorders. You know, you drink too much, you smoke, you take drugs, whatever. Changes are going to happen to you. And at a certain point you say, oh, no. I can't go any further. I can't let this happen any longer. I have to stop. This has to stop. But you are the one that actually has to make that choice for whatever it is that you don't want to be or continue doing or in ways in which you're failing. It has to be you who initiates the pattern of difference, the different changes that will, in other words, you stop. Instead of reacting in a typical way, you don't react. And then something changes. And so instead of becoming the effect of a cause, see, for example, if you get to work late and your boss comes in and says, "Where were you?" And you're cowering down in the corner, instead of saying, "The traffic was really bad," you say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." See, instead of saying what was really the reason that you weren't there, you're afraid of getting fired, or you're afraid of that person because you have come to resent them because you know that no matter how hard you work, that person is never going to be completely happy with you anyway. So you see, if you're going to make the change, you have to see that that's the change you need to make. Otherwise, you're the effect of a cause. But when you see that and you stop reacting, then you become the cause of an effect. So then people don't know how to read you. They don't understand how to read you. You think about it. And this is what meditation does. Not only does it change your brain, it changes everything about you. Everything. It changes your destiny. So, FHU.com, please go there. And if you haven't yet been involved in our Pledge Week, it's 800-500-0922. Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation and
to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax-deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes, free, with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone, go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
Untold thousands have acquired helpful insight into their lives through help from the Foundation of Human Understanding. Your donations and continued patronage allow us to continue our work to improve the human condition. Through our radio extension of Advice Line with Roy Masters and our website at FHU.com, we will continue to offer answers to the tough questions that life presents. Great inner peace can be discovered through the practice of meditation. Roy Masters offers his meditation exercise titled Be Still and Know on the Foundation's website, FHU.com. Now you can release the binds that tie you, learn to break those unhealthy addictions, overcome anger, rage, and insecurity. It all begins with a proper mindset. The Foundation website offers you the gateway to a more meaningful existence. Inner peace can be discovered through the practice of meditation, titled Be Still and Know at FHU.com. You can also call the Foundation Monday through Friday at 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
And welcome to the program. David Masters sitting in tonight. My dad taking a night off. He's just tired. And I hope you enjoyed that. Those little outtakes of the documentary on the brain. It shows that the more you meditate, the more your brain changes. Now, this is a very important aspect of health because your white matter is where your memories are. And, you know, people that have Alzheimer's and people that have memory-related disorders, maybe the cure is right in front of everyone's noses without realizing it. The cure for a lot of things that make us sick. This is what my dad's been saying for 55 years. Also, I want to remind you that we had a great pledge week last week. And but for those of you who haven't yet pledged, please do. Call 800-500-0922. That's 800-500-0922. So easy, I remembered it from last week. Or you go to FHU.com and click donate if you want to help keep this program on the air. Now, I told you also that I would spend a little time on near-death experiences. I had one in the first hour, but there's more. Because, see, there is proof. Not that you need it, but it's proof is good. Proof is good that there is life after death. I'm quite sure of it. And I'm quite sure that there's a dark side and a light side. And so I'm going to play a little bit of the beginning of another British documentary about near-death experiences. Now, I think you'll enjoy this. And so here you go. Right now, I'll be right back.
Law practice is a stressful environment, and you're dealing with a lot of very difficult situations. I used to wake up with a knot in my stomach every morning, feeling that stress.
He just was burdened by work. I mean, it was always on his mind. You know, it was a hard thing for him to turn off on the weekends or to get away from it.
I was just focused so intently on my career that I was letting what's really important fall by the wayside.
Jeffrey Thompson's law practice didn't take just his time and energy. The fast pace and the constant stress also took a toll on his body.
I maintained that stress, and it continued to work on me, and it also continued to work on my body. And eventually it broke down. I began having stomach pains, severe stomach pains, that initially I just had no idea what it was. I thought I had an appendix rupture.
Jeffrey had developed diverticulitis, a painful condition that attacks the intestinal wall. Months of natural treatments had failed, and his condition had become so advanced he needed surgery to remove part of his intestine. But what looked like a textbook operation left him suspended between life and death.
And I woke up to a surgeon pulling a sheet off of my stomach. And as I looked down, I knew immediately something was terribly wrong. And then I looked into the surgeon's eyes, and I could see concern on his face.
He had been hemorrhaging for almost 24 hours. And they had continually given him blood, but it was hemorrhaging into his abdomen, and they didn't know it, into his stomach. It was frightening. I've never seen anyone so pale, but his lips were just completely white.
My internal clock told me that I was getting ready to die, and I only had a few seconds of consciousness left. I reached up to grab my wife. I was just wanting to tell her how much I loved her and tell her that I was getting ready to leave her.
And I went to him, and it was right after that I lost him. You know, I could tell he left. He took my hand, and then he was gone.
And my life came to my center torso. And I began to rise out of my body up into that room. Everything was going haywire down below me. They were saying, I'm going to lose him.
They were doing everything they knew to keep him alive at that point.
It looked like it was a disaster going on, but it was the sweetest day of my life. I never had any pain, and I never had any fear.
As Jeffrey's spirit hovered above his body, a light appeared.
It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. It started in the center of the room toward the ceiling and began to filter out into that room, and I was immediately drawn to it. And as it began to hit objects in that room, color came flooding out like I've never seen before. My senses became enhanced. I could see everything in that room with perfect clarity. There was an entire dimension that we just simply don't see on Earth. I've never been more alive than I was in that moment. It was incredible. I suddenly had an overwhelming sense of God's presence, of His love, of His peace, of His joy. The thing that was just so incredible to me is how the maker of this universe, who can make the sun, the moon, and the stars and this earth and us, can come down and hold me and comfort me and love me as if I'm the only person in the universe. And I remember thinking about the prodigal son. That's what came to mind for me, that long-lost son that had gone out and strayed. And he had come back home. And his father was coming out to hold him and to love him and to welcome him back. That's what was happening to me. It's the sweetest love there is. I told him I wanted to go with him. And then I had a fleeting thought. But what about Madeline, my wife, and what about Will? My sweet wife is just falling apart down below me, and I'd never seen her that way. And I'm up here in complete comfort, in complete peace, in complete joy. And then God told me internally I was going to go back. That I remember jolting in my bed, and I opened my eyes, and when I opened my eyes, I'm looking at the surgeon, and he's saying, I'm losing him. We've got to get him back in surgery.
Jeffrey was rushed back into surgery, where doctors stopped the bleeding. When he finally regained consciousness, Jeffrey had a new understanding of God's amazing love and presence in his life.
God loves you more than you've ever known. He knows your circumstances. He knows what you're going through. I used to wake up with a knot in my stomach. I wake up with joy in my heart. I know he's with me. You can't go through something like that and not be a changed man.
He has a peace about him. He's a very peaceful and very centered. He's really not fearful of anything now.
Jeffrey's recovery was long and difficult, but the peace, joy, and love of God he found on the day he faced death is now with him in everything he does.
There's a peace and a love there like I can't describe to you. And it's an entirely different way of living. I've never enjoyed living more, and I understand now what's really important. I want to live for God, and I pray that he'll give me the opportunity to continue to do that.
So there's more. I mean, there's so much more. This is, to me, is a fascinating and absolutely real aspect of life that most people don't really pay that much attention to. But the fact that you have an ability to transcend yourself at times where you're so beyond being out of any control, and to have that kind of experience. There's one that there was a man who had a heart attack in a park in England. This is another documentary that I thought this was. And he laid there for an hour. He died. And an hour later, somebody found him, and they rushed him to the emergency room, and they shocked him back, and he came back to life, and he had no brain damage. And then he starts to tell the technicians about what happened, how they took him and put him in the ambulance, and how the nurse came in. Now, this is a man who has been dead for an hour, could not possibly have any sort of neural activity going on, no memory. So what is it then? What is it in us that allows us to see and be what we are? And you have to conclude that that is the consciousness itself, whatever that is. I've heard it said that the consciousness is a part of the living God. And in the scripture it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God dwells within you. This is the scripture. And it makes perfect sense that you're the vessel, and that every person is born into the world with this, the Spirit of God, this whatever this consciousness is, the soul, and that it is there, and it is eternal, which is why when the body passes, it depends upon, of course, what side of the world you've lived on. And even at Christ's crucifixion, we see that the thief on one side mocked him. If you're the Son of God, why don't you just get us out of here? And the thief on the other side said, no, you know what? You've not done anything to deserve this punishment, but I have. Will you remember me this day when you go into your kingdom? And Jesus said, yes. So see, even up to the very last moments of life, you can know the truth that can set you free. You can acknowledge that you haven't been the good person and be sorry for it, even up to the very last second. And even for those people, now this is also scripture, even though ye be dead, yet shall you live. So now we see the literal application of this, that people who have near-death experiences, and nurses will tell you that people many people have near-death experiences where they are dead and then they come back and then they describe this almost to the T. Now, some people have very bad experiences and they don't really share those with you very often. And next time I do a radio program, I will bring to you a story of a man who went to hell. But he, even in his darkest moment, he remembered what he had been taught as a child. The song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, Because the Bible Tells Me So." That's all it took. And that man was rescued from hell itself. But I'm not going to go into it right now because, oh, there's so much more stuff that I want to do on the program, but time forbids. I do have another segment, though, of a near-death experience that I will play for you. But I want to encourage those of you who listen to this program and get value from it. We had a great pledge drive last week. Many people, you know, came to our aid. If you have not yet done so, please do. Call 800-500-0922. That's 800-500-0922. And if you're a person listening for the first time, go to FHU.com. FHU.com. You'll see the materials there will help you understand. And all the materials, you have to understand, all the materials that are there, all the books that have been written, all the lectures, all the seminars, all support the idea of meditation having the ability to heal you with the simple application of just learning to focus in the moment and let go of thinking and not struggling to overcome the difficulties of life. Not struggling. So, FHU.com, please go there and check it out. And if you want to, please, we would be grateful if you would click on the donate button and make a tax-deductible donation. This is listener-supported radio, supported by you. And I'm going to take a quick break here. Be right back. 1-800-866-8883. Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes free with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
With Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, and welcome back to the program. So let's see here. I've got another piece of audio here to play for you. I wonder. Are you getting the point, I guess, is my question. The point is that there's more to life than you. And if you begin to see that now, you can change the path you're on. You can change, you don't have to fulfill a destiny other than that you were meant for. So, but I think that everybody has two potential blueprints in their life, the right one and the wrong one. And, you know, you get to that point where that wrong blueprint just doesn't work anymore. And then you say, well, then you want other people to fix you. And you go looking for people to fix you. And this is why there's so many self-help gurus, because there's people are broken. Because you're living the wrong blueprint of your life. It was the blueprint that you became the effect of some cause. So you're living out actually another person's life. You're sort of reliving another person's mistakes. I mean, just for example, adult children of alcoholics. You become the alcoholic that your parents, father, mother were. And that's a problem. But it's not the alcohol that was the problem necessarily, my point of view. It is the trauma that resulted from it. All the things that went wrong in that world, in the life that you lived, in the alcoholic world that they lived in. The world that was out of control and angry and brutal. And even though you determined, I'll never be like those people, then you become the opposite and you become a pushover. And then you're still not happy. You're living as the effect of some kind of cause, and that's got to change. It's got to be turned around. When you stop being the effect of the cause, when you learn how to be quiet and let go and be still and know, as it says in the scripture, your life changes. And the other thing that's important to recognize is that it's usually imperceptible. Which means that the changes occur like little grains of sand through the hourglass. And that after a while, as the British documentary said, that the more you meditate, you know, the more that part of your brain grows. And so you become stronger, and your brain gets reinforced to deal with life and stress. So it's not even something you can recognize on the outside until you realize one day, hey, I'm not so angry today. I wonder what happened. I'm not so angry. Because you're so used to being angry. And you're so used to being unhappy. And like the one man said, I used to wake up with a knot in my stomach. I mean, how many people do? How many people out there wake up every morning going, Oh, God, I hate this life. Yeah. Yep. Sad, sad, but true. So many people. And there's nothing worse than a life that's wasted. So it's I want to encourage you. The good things, even as you get more toward some sort of potential demise, like usually people that end up with having heart attacks or whatever physical problems put them in the hospital, in that last moment, you're given an opportunity to see, right? And a lot of the people that have these near-death experiences don't want to stay. They want to come back. They want to get it right here. I mean, this is what I'm saying to you, is that you've got to choose that path. You got to choose the path of getting it right here first. Don't take the chance of not getting it right here first. What I'm saying is here, be right here. And then your forever will be even better. A better forever. Because this is just a short journey. You know, people get killed every day in terrorist attacks and car accidents and in God knows how many ways. God only knows. So you die. But even though ye be dead, yet shall you live, according to the scripture. And it's true. Jesus came. He died on the cross. His life was lived with perfect purpose. Not a moment was in vain. Everything hinged upon it. Everything for the human race. Everything for all of you. The life of Jesus Christ made the difference. And all you have to do is embrace that idea and see the truth and know the truth that makes you free. And that often is the first truth that you see, which is the truth about yourself, that you're not the person that you should be, that you've been the effect of a cause, that other people have lived their lives through you through pressure and reward and fear and anger and seduction and so on. And now, for whatever time you have, it's time to change and become the person that you are meant to be, whatever that is. And you'll never know. It's you got to take a leap of faith. You've heard that one before, right? You've heard, take a leap of faith. Take a leap of faith. Become the person you were meant to be, rather than the person that you aren't meant to be. You were never meant to be the effect of someone else's cause. Be the person that God wants you to be, your creator. That's what you need. You need to become that person. You know it's true. FHU.com, FHU.com, AntidoteForAll.com, 800-500-0922 if you'd like to make a donation to keep this program on the air. All right. Last minute. P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. That's P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Or call the Foundation of Human Understanding Monday through Friday Pacific Time, 800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. And if you can forget all that, if you have a smartphone or a PC, and you can go to FHU.com, and all the information is there. So, until next time, hope you learned something tonight. Hope you got the bigger picture. There is a bigger picture. Get your mind out of the little picture and get into the bigger picture, which is that there's more to life than just you. But you are kind of what it's all about, in the right way, if you know what I'm saying.